Let's go to 1 Timothy 2 and verses 1 through 13, and let's look at the instructions for worship. And let's see what the Lord says. And you may be surprised at some of the things he says about what we're supposed to do in worship. It's kind of unique, some of the things that God throws in 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 13, for worship. In verse 1, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 15, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people as you make your requests. Plead for God's mercy upon them and give thanks. Now, of course, he said the same thing there in 1 Timothy 1. He told us to pray for the nations, pray for the kings and everybody in authority. Well, we really need to do that. But he's urging us again, first of all, to pray for all people. Now, see, that's when we're going to have a prayer meeting next Sunday afternoon from 1 to 2. Because God told us what to do. So he says, as you make your request, plead for God's mercy upon them and then give thanks. So as we plead, God be merciful to us and to them, and then we give him thanks for doing it. Pray this way for kings and all others who are in authority so we can live in peace and quietness and godliness and dignity. And let's go on. This is good and pleases God our Savior, and he wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. Verse 5 and 6. For there is only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and people. He is the man Christ Jesus. Now, if you start teaching that out there, you're going to catch some flack, because there's too many people out there say that there's too many ways to get to heaven. And a lot of people today believe in unfortunately, some of our men in power in our governmental offices have made the statement that the same God we serve is the same one the Muslims serve, Allah. We all serve the same God. But I don't know about you, but that my God is not the same as theirs. And I hope you know that, and I hope you would be willing to stand that no, Allah and Jehovah are not the same. You know, we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way to get through him is through the blood of Jesus. And he said he gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is a message that God gave to the world at the proper time. Verse 7 and 8. And I have been chosen, this is the absolute truth, as a preacher and apostle to teach the Gentiles about faith and truth. Well, that's God has called each one of us today to do that. You are to be out there telling others about Jesus. So wherever you assemble, I won't. Now, here is the instruction, the beginning of the real instructions for what he wants us to do when we come to worship. So wherever you assemble, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from anger and controversy. Now then, right there, I used to pray whenever I used to work for Sky Chef whenever I was the manager down there, one of the managers. I used to almost always pray with my hands raised. If I go down to the truck shop to pray for the guys or back in the maintenance rooms to pray for the men or wherever, I prayed with my hands raised. Well, they thought I was crazy, you know, because people never do that. First of all, nobody ever prayed. But then one day, whenever I prayed, there was one of the guys there that was a fine young man, which had been there for 20 years, and I understand he's still down there, right? And he'd been down there nearly 30 years now. But then he'd been there nearly 20 years and professing Christian. You know, if you really pinned him down, are you a Christian? Well, yes, I'm a Lutheran or whatever. Do you go to church? Well, sometimes, you know. He was what you'd call a normal Christian. But whenever this boss came in that prayed before every meeting and held his hands up, he said, I thought, oh my goodness, I got a Bible-thumping boss. I'm going to have to find me another job. Now, see, how sad. You know, how sad, because the Scripture says right here, wherever you assemble. Does that mean if I'm down there at Sky Chef and I'm praying or talking about God, or if we're here in church? It makes no difference. Wherever you assemble, he said, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up. So that's what I did. And so one day, it wasn't long after I was obedient to do what God says. Now, when you're obedient and serve him, he's always there to answer your prayer. And so as people thought I was kind of, you know, something wrong with me, because I prayed. Nobody else in that place ever prayed. When I walked in, I started praying over everything. I would gather up at the lunchroom, you know, I'd maybe six or eight of my guys on a table, and I'd say, well, guys, y'all mind if I pray over this food? Of course, they're sitting there digging in already, and, you know, and I said, would y'all mind if I prayed over this food? Oh, okay, they'd all stop, you know, and I'd pray. And, of course, it wasn't long. They got to the habit when they went to lunch with me, they just knew I was going to pray, so they wouldn't eat until I prayed. And so, anyway, I'm slowly changing them, and they're kind of still thinking, you know, this, they're kind of showing a little respect for me because I'm their manager, their boss, you know, and so they don't want to get too far on the bad side of me. And so as we go along there one day, they all know I'm crazy until little Edith walks in one day, that little 64-year-old woman that had the carpal tunnel and all that stuff. And there I'm sitting right in the middle of the cafeteria, and I say, what's wrong with you, woman? And she says, well, I've got carpal tunnel. And I said, can they do anything about it? And she said, well, I'm 64 years old, Thurman, and they told me at my age nothing that could be done. They just give me a bunch of medication. But she said, I'm so dizzy that I can hardly work, but I've got to work at least another year because I can't quit. I can't draw Social Security, and I've got to have that Social Security. I said, well, how would you like for Jesus to heal you? And, of course, there was about 40 people in the cafeteria, and it got deathly quiet. She said, well, I'd love it. And she's standing over there in the doorway. I said, well, come over here. I'm doing something very spiritual. I'm sitting here eating a bowl of cereal at 7 o'clock in the morning. No Bible, no nothing, just eating a bowl of cereal. Edith walks over. I lay one hand on her, and I raise the other hand up to heaven. And I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, according to your word in Mark 16, 17 and 18, where you said, I can lay hands on the sick and they'll get well. I said, would you do a complete healing on this woman from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet in Jesus' name? I said, now, Lord, thank you for doing it for her. And bam, the king instantly healed the woman. The pain went away. Her dizziness went away. And this little woman began to jump and scream, praise God, I'm not dizzy anymore. My hands don't hurt no more. Well, let me tell you, slowly but surely, people begin to filter out of the place. This is not something they see often. In fact, those people in that room had never seen that. But see, they had never seen a man obey the word. When you assemble, wherever you are, raise holy hands and pray with thanksgiving. Amen. You know, some people say, well, I ain't going to raise my hands and pray. I'm afraid I might offend somebody. Well, I don't care if you offend anybody. You know, you don't want to offend God. He's the one that's going to answer your prayer. Amen. You know, if you offend Him, then you might as well stay at home, right? And that's one of the things he's upset about right now, because we will not obey him and do what he says when we assemble to worship. You know, we should not be ashamed to raise our hands and praise the Lord. So anyway, one of these other young men that was there and saw this, he was an Indian boy from India, and he worked there, and he come in and said, Thurman, would you tell me where it says in the Bible that you can raise your hands and pray? And I said, well, sure. And so I just wrote him down about six or eight different places where all through the Psalms and everywhere else where it says, raise your hands, praise the Lord, and scriptures like this. I said, I handed them to him. I said, what are you going to do with those? He said, well, I'm a Catholic, and I go to church at a Catholic church. And he said, after I saw Edith healed by what you did, he said, I thought it's time for me to raise my hands in church. And he said, my priest came to me the other day. We're singing, and I got both hands up. And he walked up to me and says, what are you doing that for? He said, well, because I love Jesus. He said, you're not supposed to do that here. So he said, I lowered my hands, and he said, I want to know why you do this. And I said, well, I do it because it's written in God's Word. And so I wrote all those things down for him. I said, what are you going to do with them? He said, I'm going to print them out, and I'm going to go with the scriptures in my hand, and I'm going to raise my hand next Sunday when the priest comes and what are you doing for him? I'm going to say, here, sir, this is why I'm doing it. It's written. Amen. You know, whenever people see you do something that produces a tremendous result in the kingdom, and they see a little woman get completely, totally healed, they think, hey, if what he done worked like that, maybe I ought to start doing that. Is that right? Amen. Now, see, if Jesus told us this is the instructions for worship, so wherever you assemble, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted to God, free from anger and controversy. So that should be every man's goal. He should be to do what the king says, right? Okay, now let's see some other things here in worship, verse 9 and 10. And I want women. Oh, okay, he just said about men. Now let's see what he says about women. And I want women to be modest in their appearance. They should wear decent and appropriate clothing and not draw attention to themselves by the way they fix their hair or by wearing gold or pearls or expensive clothes. For women who claim to be devoted to God should make themselves attractive by the good things they do. You know? So if a woman comes in the back door dripping in diamonds, you know, got a really expensive outfit on, and her top is cut down way down to the middle down here to draw attention to her body and all the different things, she hadn't read the scripture, has she? Or if she wears a skirt to church that's about this long, she hasn't read the word. You know, she needs to dress appropriately. I think all women should wear a dress at least that goes down to their knees or pretty close. And it wouldn't upset me if you wore one that went a little beyond your knees. You know, that wouldn't bother me at all. But, I mean, what does the scripture say a woman's supposed to do? She's supposed to be modest in her appearance, and they should wear decent and appropriate clothing and not draw attention to themselves by the way they fix their hair or by wearing gold or pearls or expensive clothes. So if you come in, now, I mean, I think of men, sometimes I'll tell a man, you look sharp today. Now then, it depends on his replies whether I ever tell him that again. If he flips it open and says, yeah, Neiman Marcus, $1,500. Forget it. I won't ever tell him he looks nice again. You know, because if he does that, I will say, J.C. Penney, $79. I'm not trying to impress you with my fancy clothes.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.